Gospel lesson today comes to us from Mark 10:2-16. That's Mark 10:2-16, if you would like to follow along this morning. Some Pharisees came, and to test him, they asked him, "Is it lawful for a man to divorce his wife?" And he answered them, "What did Moses command you?" And they said, "Moses allowed a man to write a certificate of dismissal to divorce her." But Jesus said to them, "Because of your hardness of heart, he wrote this commandment for you. But from the beginning of creation, God made male and female. For this reason, a man shall leave his father and mother and be joined to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. And they are no longer two, but one flesh. Therefore, what God has joined together, let no one separate." Then in the house, the disciples asked him again about this matter, and he said to them, "Whoever divorces his wife and marries another commits adultery against her, and if she divorces her husband and marries another, she commits adultery." People were bringing little children to him in order that he might touch them, and the disciples spoke sternly to them. But when Jesus saw this, he was indignant and said to them, "Let the little children come to me and do not stop them, for it is to such as these that the kingdom of God belongs. And truly I tell you, whoever does not receive the kingdom of God as a little child will never enter it." And then he took them up in his arms, he laid hands on them and blessed them. It's the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Please pray with me, church. Lord, we gather here on this World Communion Sunday, remembering the relationship that you have offered us through your Son, Jesus Christ, who came to stand in the gap, to stand in the middle where sin was, that separated us from relationship with you. But you have bridged that divide, and the kingdom of heaven is drawn close. And so we ask this morning that your Holy Spirit be with us, soften our hearts, heal our hearts, draw us close to you and close to one another. Lord God, I ask that the meditation of my heart and the words of my mouth be an acceptable offering unto you. Amen. So we're on a journey in Mark. Just to recap, to set the stage in case you forgot last week, you weren't here. Jesus has announced that it's time for him to die on his way to Jerusalem. And in response, his disciples argue about who is the greatest. Jesus, in turn, tells them to be great means to be servant of all. And that is the very heart of the kingdom message that Jesus is proclaiming. It's about welcoming the vulnerable. Now, the Pharisees appear on the scene right away, and they jump in. They began to ask Jesus questions because they want to trap him. They want to shut down this Jesus movement. Why are the Pharisees trying to trap Jesus? Well, you see, Jesus didn't fit their pedigree. Jesus didn't go to seminary. Jesus came from Nazareth, a backwater trailer park. Jesus offers dignity. Jesus offers a place at the table for those who are at the bottom of society, the outcasts and the sinners. Jesus is a rock star. And it doesn't seem like it, but he really is if you think about it. Someone with no formal education pops out of nowhere on people's radar, and he has masses of people following him. He's doing miracles. People are bringing children to Jesus so he can touch them, so he can bless them. Does this sound familiar? You guys see the Pope in town? You see some of that action? Same thing. Jesus is a big deal. Jesus is upsetting the system of order that they have tried to establish. Jesus is usurping their authority. This person with no pedigree, with no formal education, is teaching in the synagogues. People are leaving the synagogues in droves and following him. So the Pharisees are on the attack, and Jesus is having none of it. He deflects their question from the matters of the law and turns it instead on its head and talks about relationship. See, God knows that relationships are much more than legal matters. You can't codify a relationship into boxes that you can check. You can't do that with your own relationship, and you certainly can't do that with your relationship with the Lord. God knows that our relationships are meant for us to come together and share in the abundance of life that God has for us. And so these questions of marriage and divorce aren't simply of the legal nature, but rather they're about the Creator's intention that we be in relationship for mutual dependence and health. You see, Jesus isn't speaking to individuals. He's making a statement about the kind of community that we will be. The fact that he's inviting us to imagine these communities centered in and on real relationships. So do we receive the kingdom as Jesus has instructed us? Do we receive other people into our circles? Do we receive other people into the committees, into the groups that we belong to? Do we receive people into the ministries that we participate in? Do we receive people into our lives as Christ has accepted people into the kingdom? Do we genuinely welcome children, or do we dismiss them because they are an inconvenience to us, because they make noise, or they're jumping around during the service and they're distracting us? You see, children and all who God calls to the space right now have a share in the kingdom. They have an inheritance. This is the external promise of the inheritance that we have in Christ. Right here, this table of grace, this table of hospitality, this table of welcome. You see, some people are drawn to the church because they have no other place to go. There is no other hope, and so the Spirit impresses upon their lives a need to be connected to the body, because this is the body of Christ here on earth, and to be disconnected as a Christian from the body of Christ is like having a limb cut off. You're lost. You're in pain. You don't know where to look. You don't know where to get fed. But if the Spirit is saying yes to these people, be a part of the body of Christ, and they are coming here to get fed, to be loved, to be nurtured, and we are saying, no, you cannot enter our circle, sisters and brothers, that is nothing less than blasphemy. That is blasphemy of the Spirit. You don't have to blaspheme in words. You can blaspheme in deed when you turn your back on people, when you choose to look the other way, when you say, you know what, my ministry is okay. I don't need anyone else. The Spirit is calling people. The Spirit is moving here. Lives are being changed. I know it because I talk to you. And I talk to people outside of these walls. Listen to what our scripture says. What God has joined, let no one separate. God is calling people to be a part of this body here, this individual expression of the body of Christ in Roseville. Who are we to say no? Who are we to stand here and say, no, we are better than? Better than what? Last time I checked, I'm still a sinner. Last time I checked, so are you all. And that's why we need this table. And that's why we need this cross. And that is why we need the grace of God so desperately in our lives. Now, it's easy for me to stand here and give these theoretical platitudes and talk about things that happened. But what if I didn't welcome someone? Imagine that. How would that be? Imagine if this happened to a child. And I wonder if we can learn to see one another as children of God. Please don't be distracted by my dress. I did this intentionally today to make a point. Could you welcome me if you see me in the street, dressed like this, without my blazer, without my stole? Yeah? I wonder. Can we learn to see one another as children of God? What does it mean to receive the kingdom as a child of God? As I stand here with my friend, Emma, beautiful spirit, Emma, yeah, receiving a kingdom like a child means that there is no ambition for authority. There is no ambition for leadership when you are in the circle. Because a child was the lowest of the low in Jewish society, even lower than women, even lower than a divorced woman. There was a child. A child to be the servant of all in these circles. A child with no place, a child that would be unseen. And this is what we are called to be like as we receive the kingdom. A child. So I wonder, sisters and brothers, can we learn to see one another as children of the kingdom? Because that's what you all are. You're children of God. I don't care if you're 8 or 80. We are all children of God. Thank you, Emma. As children of God, we make mistakes. As parents, as grandparents, as a pastor, I make mistakes. And though you may make a mistake as a parent, it doesn't mean that the office of the parent is null and void. The office of the parent is still very real. These disciples keep messing up. Do you notice that? They don't understand. Just previously, Jesus took the child and put it in the center of this group of men who were arguing about how great they were. A couple verses later, they are stopping the children from coming to Jesus saying, no, hey, who? This guy is really busy. He's got a lot of administration to do. Please don't bother him. He doesn't have time. And Jesus becomes indignant. Do we know what that word indignant means? As far as I am concerned, this happens in two places in Scripture. Indignant. This is one of them. The other is when Jesus is in the temple flipping over tables. It is a righteous indignation. It is a passion that consumes Jesus. For these children, he wants them to come because they are the vulnerable. They are the at risk in society. And Jesus wants
them to come. And if we can welcome children, if we can welcome the outsider, then, sisters and brothers, we are doing what Christ has called us to do, to receive the kingdom of God. Jesus could have gotten new disciples. You think that would have been difficult for Jesus? Really? I don't think so. Jesus could have absolutely gotten new disciples at any moment he wanted to. There were thousands of people following him. Disciples, he could have picked any numbers of them. But he chose not to break relationship with these disciples. Just as Christ does not break relationship with you, no matter what you do. I don't care what you did 10 years ago, 20 years ago, what you did last week. There is nothing that is going to separate you from the love of God. Nothing. And if nothing is going to separate you, what right do we have to separate people who are sent here seeking a spiritual home, seeking nurture from the body of Christ? We have no right at all. That is not what we are called to do. So as Jesus and his disciples journey, and they continue, these disciples continue to make mistakes, Jesus loves them. He respects their office as disciples. And as we mess up as disciples, it's all right. It's all right. There is grace. There is forgiveness. And when we forget that, because we do, we're here for what, 59 minutes if I don't preach too long? But this table is set. This table of love and grace will remind you that you have a share of this kingdom, that you are welcome around this table. God has called you here for a reason. And no matter what you're going through in your life, if you're stumbling, you don't know how to get up. If you're struggling with raising your kids, if kids, you're struggling with your parents. If you found out some news that has rocked the foundations of your world, remember that nothing will break our communion with the divine, and nothing will break our communion with one another. This whole passage is about community. It's about relation. And it's not the kind of community that we've been trained to seek. It's not the community of the strong, the wealthy, the powerful, the independent. Rather, it's a community of the broken, the vulnerable, the at risk. It's a community, in other words, of those who know their need and seek the relationship with each other, because they have learned that by being honest and open in relationship with each other, we are then also in relationship with God, the very one who created them for each other in the first place. If you remember a couple verses back, a couple sermons ago, Jesus said, when you welcome this child, you don't just welcome a child. You welcome Jesus. Jesus says, you welcome me. And when you welcome me, you welcome the one who sent me. You see, this is what the church was originally about. A place for those who had been broken by life, rejected by the powerful, who came to experience God through the crucified Jesus, the one who met them precisely in their vulnerability and in their brokenness. As we break the bread today, remember the brokenness in you. Remember the brokenness of those who come to be made whole. Remember the brokenness of the world, because there is no reason in this country, this great country, that we should be counting our 290th mass shooting this year. No, we can do better. We have to do better. And it begins with relationship. It begins with the bond of love, the bond of care. It breaks my heart to talk about the violence in the world. It breaks my heart to talk about the violence of separation. And it truly breaks my heart to hear about stories in our own church when people feel like they have their backs turned by other people. People turn their backs on them. They will not let them enter the circle. Church, we're going to mess up, but there is forgiveness. There's always a new day, and there is always hope in Jesus Christ. And may God grant us the strength to receive those who God sends to us as we hope one day to be received into the glorious kingdom of God. Amen.